There's some very healthy returns on refunding of areas such as health and education, even infrastructure that had faced massive cuts over the last couple of years. So there are some very good sentiments embedded in this budget on the expenditure side. The problem is the revenue side, and then therefore the basis for expenditure has jumped enormously by 20%, and that just doesn't seem incredible.
So ultimately, you believe that the money won't be there to pay for what's in this budget, essentially?
Well, that's right. They're assuming a 2.2 billion kina increase. And if they don't actually have that delivered, you can't spend what you're not actually bringing in revenue. They're already pushing the boundaries when it comes to their fiscal deficit side, the size of the public debt that they've built up over recent years. So if the money's not flowing in, I think they'll very quickly have to have some type of supplementary budget. And if that's the case, then some of the big areas that have been replenished, if you like, in this budget, I suspect will actually be cut again before the year is out.
Now, others would certainly seem to agree with your stand on this. And Stephen Howe at the Australian National University says it's good the budget admits to a revenue crisis, but you won't solve the revenue crisis without dealing with the underlying economic crisis. So my question, particularly to you as someone who's worked as an advisor to the PNG Treasury, is why would it appear that the government is working on the wrong figures?
Well, I think part of the problem is that there is underlying politics in this budget. There clearly was a standoff between the Prime Minister's office and the Treasury's office about a very big item of expenditure. And that was a billion kina in these electoral funds. So the Treasury had lined up to reduce those significantly. The Prime Minister said no. And once that happened, the budget essentially lost a lot of control. They went looking too hard for the revenue areas. And they just tried too hard and end up inventing things such as small increases in funding to the IRC would generate 755 million kina extra. Dividends were way too high for what the SOEs can support. So I think they just tried too hard. And in some ways, it's a reflection of some politics there that the Prime Minister wanted some things protected. And they were very, very expensive packages in an economy that frankly isn't doing very well, so the revenue isn't flowing.
So would it be fair to suggest then that the PNG population can expect some disappointment in the next year or so? And I note Governor of Oro Province, Gary Jufa, has particularly pointed out cut to wages for public servants. I mean, that clearly isn't going to go down well. He says this can only encourage corruption and disaffection.
So, yes, the adjustment problem is going to be incredibly difficult. There has been an absolute blowout in public service costs, so it's not surprising the government has had to look at trying to reduce some of those public service expenses. Those types of policies won't be popular. We know that the growth rate won't be as high as the government hopes, and this stimulus package that's been put in place, they're pursuing policies we know have failed in the past. These big government programs, these subsidies to the private sector in agriculture, this is just a repeat of the Rama sugar mistakes of the 1980s. It's an infant industry sort of argument. It's a very protectionist argument. This isn't going to help getting the economy going again. So in the medium term, this certainly won't be the revenues flowing in. It's going to be a tough adjustment task for years.
Now, I noticed that you tweeted, expect lots of underfunded or unfunded promises, I should say, except for APEC funding. And you would think that the majority of the population of Papua New Guinea might argue that APEC isn't going to do them a lot of good, and it's the other promises that need to be funded.
Well, I think that's one of the concerns about the O'Neill government. It's been prone towards these very sort of big showcase projects, whether it be a massive overinvestment in the South Pacific Games earlier on or this APEC meeting. And if you had a choice between funding a rural health centre or funding this APEC meeting is getting 300 million kina in this budget. I suspect it will be about double that, given the reality of costs of hosting these big meetings. It's pretty hard to sustain that as being a sensible choice when expenditure is so tough, when the revenue isn't flowing, because the economy isn't going very well.
So once again, are we looking some months down the track at a supplementary budget to try and correct the errors that you suggest are in this budget?
It'd be great if they actually sat down, even with the opposition now, to say, well, what are some realistic revenue numbers here? Rather than raising these sort of hopes and getting some things started and then cut off and stopped again, it'd be better that the budget was actually was cut down to size to realistic revenues. And there's another option there, I think, that Australia could work with other sort of countries to see if they could come up with a more substantial sort of funding package to help these really difficult times, this revenue crisis that's now been admitted, rather than the pain on the expenditure side. We know the figures on health, on stunting. PNG is a very, very poor country. It's probably time for some international donors such as Australia put their hand out to help more through these difficult times.